Have you ever had a sleepless night? I don't mean a night where you had too much caffeine or a night where you were suffering from restless leg syndrome or something like that. I mean one of those sleepless nights where you were just tossing and turning because your mind just could not get wrapped around some situation that was going on. There was some stress in your life, some trouble, some turmoil, some agony, some anxiety. Perhaps someone had done something wrong to you. Perhaps you had done something wrong. Maybe there was trouble in the family, trouble on the job, maybe even trouble in the congregation. Maybe there was some kind of financial turmoil that you were going through. And so because of that, your mind was just filled with all kinds of thoughts and you just couldn't get them out. And no matter how hard you tried to drift off to sleep, your mind just stayed active and anxious and troubled. And so you just couldn't get to sleep. You tried drinking warm milk. You tried counting sheep. You tried everything that you could think of, but you just couldn't get to sleep. If you've ever been there, then you are aware of what David was going through in Psalm number 4. In Psalm number 4, it's a very interesting psalm. Some folks believe that this is an evening prayer that kind of goes along with Psalm 3, which was a morning prayer. And many suggest that both of these psalms were written at about the same time, probably during the distress that Absalom caused. And I think there's some evidence that demonstrates that that is a pretty likely case. However, there are some others that suggest that David wrote this on behalf of the Levites who had been separated unto God, verse 3, but now that the Lord has set apart the godly for Himself. Some suggest that he wrote this on behalf of the Levites who had been set apart for God, even though they were looked down on by some of the other tribes for not having their own fields and crops and inheritance. Some suggest that as we read through the psalm, we're looking at God's rebuke of the enemies. Some suggest that it's an exhortation of David's friends. Others suggest that it's a mixture of the two. The reality is, I have to tell you, having studied it and looked at it, it's hard for me to come down one side or the other and say specifically, here's the layout of the psalm and here's the audience of the psalm. I'm just really struggling with that. But I tell you what I do notice. I notice verse 8. And whether it's about the Levites or about David's own trouble, or whether he's talking to the enemies about how they need to react, or whether he's talking to his friends about how they should act toward the enemies, in verse 8 I know this. It says, in peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And what a contrast that is with verse 4, which says, be angry, or some translations say tremble. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. In verse 4, we see a picture of the trembling in the bed, the anger, the anxiety, the toil, the trauma, as they're laying in bed, pondering, working it over in their mind. But by the time we get to verse 8, I will sleep. I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And this is a wonderful evening prayer. As we are about to lay down, to remind ourselves that it is in the Lord that we dwell and have our safety. I'd like for us to examine this psalm with this thought in mind, because in Psalm 4, I think we see four keys that allow us to find sleep on those kinds of sleepless nights. And I'd like for us to talk about that for a few moments this evening. Before we do that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Almighty God and Father in heaven, we praise Your name. And we are so thankful for Your love and Your mercy. And we're so thankful that You've allowed us to gather here again this evening to open up Your Word, to learn comforting things that will help us as Your children, to draw closer to You, to lift You up, to put our faith and our trust in You, to rely on You in those troubled times. We pray, Father, that You will strengthen us to learn from Your saints in years gone by, from David and others, that we might find the faith that they had in You, which allowed them to draw near to You even in stressful times. And Father, we pray that Your hand of mercy would wrap around us, that as we lay our heads down at night, that we will be able to find sleep in You, because we are trusting in You to care for us and to protect us and to provide for us. We know, Father, that You bless Your children even in their sleep. And we pray that You would help us to look for that blessing. We're so thankful that You take such good care of us. We're thankful that we've gotten to eat today, that we've been able to breathe in and out today, that we're all wearing clothes today, that we've been able to drive in our cars today, that we're here inside this building that protects us from the cool air and the elements, that we have homes to live in. You have blessed us so greatly, and we want to give You the honor and the glory and acknowledge You in all of that. Help us, Father, to trust in you, to be safe in your arms, to know that it is in fact well with our souls. It's through your Son Jesus who died for us that we pray. Amen. The first key of finding sleep on sleepless nights, by the way, is not putting in one of my sermons to help you go to sleep. That's not what we're going to find out. But there are some great keys, although I have been told that does help some people. But we're going to find some great keys. The very first key that we find in Psalm 4 comes from verse 1. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. Key number 1. Count your blessings, not sheep. Count your blessings, not sheep. As David begins this psalm, answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. We know he's calling out to God. He wants help from God. He ends that verse with, be gracious to me and hear my prayer. He is wanting God to listen to his plea, to hear his cry. But he has one basis for offering this request. In the middle of that verse, you have given me relief when I was in distress. He is not saying that the thing he is about to ask about has already been relieved. His point is he is about to ask for further relief because he knows that God has given him relief before. He has been delivered. He's gone through stressful and distressful times. And God has brought him through every single one. And so as he lays down in his evening prayer and he's stressed and he's got this trauma and toil and trouble that is going on in his life, he turns to God. And he says, I'm asking you to deliver me again. I'm asking you for relief. And the reason is, God, because you've done it before. If indeed this is David talking about himself and his own trouble in the time of Absalom, I can think of numerous times when God had delivered him. There was the lion and the bear when he was a shepherd over the sheep. Of course, there was Goliath when David was the only one that was willing to step out onto the field armed only with God and his strength and a sling. There, of course, was Saul, who had attacked and pursued him. God had delivered. God had provided relief from distress. And the reality is God has done the same thing for us. God has taken care of us in so many ways. It's so easy for us to forget everything that God has done for us. When we are in those troubled times and we think that somehow God is picking on us and God has it out for us, we need to spend some time counting the deliverances, counting the times that God has delivered us from distress, counting the times that God has carried us through our troubles and our trials and our traumas, counting the blessings that God has given us. We've eaten today. Sure, we may be having struggles. Sure, there may be turmoils. Maybe there's financial problems. Maybe there's family problems. But we've eaten today. We've got clothes to wear today. We've got friends and family surrounding us today. We've got blessings from God. I am sure that the idea of counting sheep is in hope to take our minds off of whatever it is that's troubling us. But I'll tell you what I have found that is so much better. And that's counting our blessings. Putting our minds on the places where God has taken care of us. And remembering that He will do so again. Count your blessings, not sheep. The second principle that we find in Psalm 4 is in verses 2 and 3. It says, O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for Himself. The Lord hears when I call to Him. What David points out is that we need to focus on God, not men. Focus on God, not on men. David was facing those men who would lie about him, it says, who were finding happiness in vain words, who were trying to turn his honor into shame. How often are our sleepless nights caused by focusing on the men and women in our lives who would say wrong things about us, those who have stabbed us in the back, those who have gossiped about us, those who have threatened us. And we play over in our minds again and again and again the things that they said. And then we play over in our minds again and again and again the things that we said back. And then we play over in our minds again and again and again the things we wish we had said back. You ever done that? Oh, I just thought of what would have been a great comeback. Oh, I wish I'd have said that. And then we play over in our minds again and again and again how the conversation would have gone and how we would have vanquished them in that verbal repartee and how we would have overcome them. And we just go through that in our minds and we think about some other situation that might come up and we're preparing and planning for that. And we know that there's going to be another argument with them and we're just getting ready to be able to have that fight over and over again as we think about the enemies and focus on them and what they have done to us and how we're going to get them back. And that doesn't work because that just keeps us awake. That just provides more stress and more trauma and more trial and more trouble. What David demonstrates here is that we need to think about God. Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for Himself. The Lord hears when I call to Him. The world doesn't like that. The world doesn't like the idea of there being a separation between us and the worldly. They want to think that everybody is just the same, but it's not true. Those who are in Jesus Christ, those who are godly, have been set apart. And we have benefits and blessings that the rest of the world does not have. But we need to understand, when the world and when the enemy hears about that setting apart, not going to be happy. And the enemy, who we are told in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, is a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. When he sees that we are one of the set apart, he will go after us. No holds barred. He won't care. He doesn't care who we are. He doesn't care where we are. If we're one of the set apart, he will use anything and everything he can to get us to turn away from our faith in God. He'll use the things that our friends say. He'll use the things that our enemies say. He'll use whatever's going on in our life to produce all kinds of doubts in our minds and troubles and struggles that keep us awake at night, causes problems. But what we need to remember is that the godly have been set apart. We have been set apart. God hears when we call. That doesn't mean He does everything exactly the way we want and on our timetable, but God is here with us. He is not off in the distance. He is here with us, carrying us through whatever it is that we face. We need to remember what is said in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory." God has blessed us. In Christ Jesus, we are set apart, and we are set apart for blessing. And God does hear when we call. And we need to focus on Him and the blessing that He provides. And we need to focus on the peace and serenity that comes from being in Him. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." We have redemption in Jesus Christ. We have the forgiveness of sins. And God has taken us out of that kingdom of darkness and set us apart and brought us into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of His beloved Son. And we need to focus on that. We need to spend our time remembering we are God's and God is ours. And because of that, we can lean on Him. And we can find sleep on those sleepless nights. There is nothing that man can do to us to take that away. And there is nothing that Satan can do to take that away. We have to hang on to it. God is with us. And David continues in Psalm 4, verses 4 and 5. "Be angry or your translation may say tremble, and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. The third key for finding sleep and sleepless nights demonstrated in these verses is that we need to trust in the Lord, not in ourselves. Trust in the Lord, not yourself. There in verse 4, be angry or tremble and do not sin. There are things that cause us to tremble. There are things that anger us. He says, don't sin. Instead of sinning, ponder it in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. That's tough to do. Because basically what he's saying is when these things happen, don't go out and take it upon yourself. Don't go out and do the thing that you're wanting to do to fix it. Don't go out and do the thing that you're wanting to do to make it all right. See, that's the problem that we so often have. When these kind of troubles occur, we spend our nights lying awake trying to figure out how we're going to fix it. What do I need to do? And the problem is so often when that's the approach we're taking, what it leads to is sin. Because when that's what we're doing, we're following our way and not God's way. And whose way works? God's way works. That's the thing that we need to remember. He's saying don't rely on yourself. Don't trust in yourself. Don't sit there in your mind figuring out how you're going to fix this. Rather, trust in the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27, where this passage is quoted in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27, Paul said, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. You see, that's the trouble when anger comes up. It opens the door for the devil. And when we spend our time trying to figure out what we're going to do to fix things, typically we're just opening that door even further. Instead, David offers this in verse 5 of Psalm 4, offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. David's point is you need to trust the Lord. The Lord is going to take care of you. That doesn't mean that we sit on our thumbs and do nothing. That doesn't mean that we just sit back and whatever happens. But he says that we need to offer right sacrifices. Now, it's possible that in this Old Testament context that David was saying that these who are reading this needed to go to the temple and offer the sacrifices of the Old Testament, atoning for their sins. That's possible. But I think in this context, it's probably more likely that he's saying the same kind of thing as what he says in Psalm 51 and verse 17. In Psalm 51 and verse 17, what David wrote there was, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. What is it that we need to do? Rather than figuring out how we're going to fix things, we just need to have that broken and contrite heart that says, God, whatever it is you tell me, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever it is that you have said, that's how I'm going to react. If you tell me that I need to go talk to someone, I'm going to go talk to them. If you tell me that I need to do so in gentleness, I'm going to do it in gentleness. If you say that I need to do it in humility, I'm going to do it in humility. If you say that I need to forgive them, I'm going to forgive them. If you say that I need to rebuke them, I'm going to rebuke them. Just whatever it is that you have said, God, that is what I'm going to do. Because my heart is broken. My spirit is contrite. When I do things my way, I mess it up. In fact, how often is it that our sleepless nights are caused because of us messing things up? And so instead, he encourages us, don't try to fix it. Surrender to the Lord. Trust Him. Doing what He says. Let Him be in charge of your life. And when God is in charge of our lives, then we can find that sleep on a sleepless night, because we know that the one power in all the universe who can accomplish everything is the one who is in charge of our lives. And He'll make it work. And finally, we continue in Psalm 4 to verses 6 and 7. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. The fourth key to finding sleep on a sleepless night is find your joy above, not below. Find your joy above, not below. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. Depending on your translation, the quotes are placed in this passage in different ways. It may be that David is talking about all those who say, Who's going to show us any good? And then answers it with, lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. Some translations put the quotes around that whole thing so that it's people who are answering themselves. There are many who say, who's going to show us good? The Lord is going to show us good. It doesn't really matter to me. You get down to the same point. Who's going to show us some good? The Lord is. The Lord is going to show us some good. And notice what David recognized. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. You know, far too often, our restless and anxious nights are spent as we are toiling over how to achieve some type of material goods and earthly blessings, or how to preserve them and protect them. How many sleepless nights have even Christians had over falling stock market? How many sleepless nights have we had over trouble at work where we might get laid off? I know we've had it. And I'm not saying it's wrong to have any concern about those things. But notice what David said. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. God is the one who blesses us, and the blessings that are in God are greater than the blessings that are down here on the earth. In Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Seek the things that are above, not the things that are below. The things that are below will disappoint and deceive, but God's things never do. The things that are below will fade away. But God's things never do. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We need to put our heart in things above. Oh, it's so easy to have our heart in our houses, in our cars, in our paychecks, in our clothes, in our gizmos, in our gadgets. But those things will fade, they rust, they're destroyed. But God's things never will be. And when we can find our joy in God's things, then no matter what is going on down here, we'll be able to sleep at night, knowing that God is taking care of us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Our houses will crumble, our cars will rust, our bank accounts will be destroyed by inflation. Our retirement accounts will crumble when the stock market falls. All of these problems will come against us just as they come against everyone in the world. But we have something that does not fade, that does not perish, that does not go away. It is being reserved. It is being held in trust for us by a God who cannot be overcome. And when we can find our joy there, then no matter what happens down here, we'll be able to sleep. Because we know we've got something that we're heading towards. Something that's worth it all. And we patiently continue on in our faith. And so David said in verse 8 of Psalm 4, because of all this, because I'm going to count my blessings and not sheep, because I'm going to focus on God and not man, because I'm going to trust in the Lord and not in myself, and because I'm going to find my joy above and not below, in peace I will both lie down and sleep. For You alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. in peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And so we dwell. And so we sleep. Are you having sleepless nights? Read Psalm 4. And go to sleep. If you're going to be using a songbook tonight, would you pull that out now, please? Number 326 in the big blue book, number 326, trust and obey. Trust in the Lord. Obey what He says. Have the broken and contrite heart that says, I'm just going to do what You say, God, because I trust You and I know that You will make me dwell in safety. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Do you trust Him in that? Will you obey Him? If we can help you surrender your life to God tonight, or if you've done that and you need some other spiritual help, or if you need prayers, whatever we can do for you to help you in your spiritual walk with God, we invite you to come forward right now as we stand and sing.